Today we will be having a subject with the title of Refined Worship. And around the word refined, I put quotation marks. I want to read from the New World Dictionary of American English, 3rd College Edition, the definition of refined. 1. Made free from other matter or from impurities, purified. 2. Free from crudeness or coarseness, cultivated, elegant. 3. Characterized by great subtlety, precision, etc. And the word, the base word, refine. 1. To make fine or pure, free from impurities, dross, alloy, sediment, etc., to purify or clarify. 2. To free from imperfection, coarseness, crudeness, etc., make more elegant or cultivated, impart polish to. 3. To make more subtle or precise. Verb intransitive, 1. To become fine or pure, become free from impurities, etc. 2. To become more polished or elegant. 3. To use subtleties and fine distinctions in thinking or speaking. Refined worship. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Today we want to start with the scripture, Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. Let's start with verse 1, actually. Then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward ahungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of the Almighty One, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. That's from Deuteronomy 8:3. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Of course, he's in the wilderness. He's taking him to the holy city in his mind. And setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, or the highest point of the temple. And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of the living God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yahshua said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt Yah, the Almighty One. Verse 8, Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Yahshua said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yah, the Almighty One, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Yahshua. Here we have the basis for the potential of false worship. Yahshua was tempted in three areas here, and I have listed them on the board. First is appetite. Secondly, presumption. Thirdly, power. These are the areas in which the devil sought to persuade Yahshua to refine his worship. To refine his worship. To purify his worship. You see, the way the devil worked this was this way. Yahshua is in the flesh. He has come from heaven, but he doesn't remember everything in heaven. He doesn't remember. He doesn't know for sure, except through the Word, who he is. He doesn't remember, oh, I was Michael the angel, the archangel, and I sort of went to sleep and I woke up in the womb of Mary as a human Messiah. That's not the way it was. He was born a child, and he had to learn who he was from the Word, from his education. And so the way the devil did this was, he set it up so that the devil was coming to Yahshua at his weakest time, at his weakest moment, and putting this thing around like, you're the fallen angel, and I'm the mighty archangel. In other words, the devil was turning the thing around so that Yahshua was supposed to be him, and he was Yahshua. And Yahshua was out in the wilderness, not having sustenance for a time, at his weakest possible moment, and the devil comes at him at this point and seeks to get him to refine his worship. Or, in other words, sin against the Most High. Break his custom of true worship or obedience. What did we say a few weeks ago? We said, true worship is loving service of obedience to Yah. But he did not succeed, and in verse 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him. Have you ever tried to reason with somebody? And you just exhausted all your, you used up all your ammo? And you said, and you just walk away and, this is senseless. Can't make sense out of this. I can't succeed. That's what the devil could not succeed. He tried his best effort at Yahshua's weakest time, and he could not succeed. And he just walked away. That's exactly the way it is for the last generation church. That's the way it is for the 144,000. Of course, the devil will try to kill them, just like he killed Yahshua. Well, he thinks he killed Yahshua. The very thing he did to kill Yahshua backfired on him too. Became the very sacrifice that saved all creation. Well, so I'm using the word refined a little bit tongue-in-cheek today. It's not exactly the definition given in the New World Dictionary, I could have put up here false worship. If you have a perverted appetite, if you are presumptuous, if you are seeking power, you will be worshiping falsely. That's why I use those words. Yes, they build large cathedrals. It's refined worship. They get real nice, thick, comfortable carpet. You could take your shoes off and walk on the carpet. Refined worship. You know, some people even find the right day to go to church. They find Saturday worship. And that's refined worship. You know, the Jews had the right day. But they had their worship so refined that they wound up seeking to kill the Messiah. It's a dangerous thing to consider yourself okay and refined in your worship when you're really miserable and blind and naked. I think we talked to that a little bit last week. We're going to continue on with some other scriptures. I have a feeling I might get long-winded today. I think we're going to try to hold this to an hour. Let's see what happens. Let's look at Genesis 1. I like to go back to creation, because we are to worship the Creator. And we find our instruction in the beginning. Instruction for true worship. Genesis 1, starting with verse 29. And Yah said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And Yah saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very fine. I'm saying fine in the place of good there for a reason. So you see, at creation, Yah saw that everything was fine. Now, if it were refined, it would have to be fine again. Re is do again. And if it was fine, you refine it, you try to make it fine again. Or in the definition, you're making it better. You're making it more pure, you're making it better than it was. But at creation, it was fine. The diet was fine. Everything he made was fine. And then, of course, next comes the Sabbath. And he rests and he says, everything's fine. My family's fine. It's wonderful. Would you like to have been there? There's something in me that would have liked to have been there. And you know, if we do not get deceived, if we do not trip over this refined worship, we will have the opportunity to be there when all of this is recreated right before our very eyes and made fine again. But let's go on, because I have something important to share. chapter 2 of Genesis 15 through 17. And Yah, the Almighty One, took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. You notice he gave man responsibility. Do you know that when we don't have responsibility, we're not in a good place? It's not very fine for us. Yah intended for all of us to have responsibility and to keep that responsibility intact. And Yah the Almighty commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Okay. Yah gives him a restriction. He gives him a responsibility, and then he says, "I'm going to restrict you on this one point. Now, I've given you your diet. I've told you what is fine, and I've told you what is refined. Stay away from the refined." I did not create that for food. Adam understands and he agrees to it and goes forward. The woman is created. Adam gives the woman instruction. And we take it up in chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yah the Almighty had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, Yah said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Come on, Eve. Don't you know your husband misunderstood that? For Yah doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods," or Yah himself, "knowing good and evil." And the woman saw, listen, appetite. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. How did she see that? Lucifer already mind controlled her, that's why. She yielded to this serpent, and he controlled her mind and showed her, and she was able to see it was pleasant to the eyes. Look at that. It was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And there's a whole sermon or two or more, a whole series probably, that we could preach about that. But we'll go on. Their worship was refined by perverted appetite. Right off the bat. Let's go to another place in Genesis. A little story about Esau. Genesis 25. Genesis 25, 29 through 34. Esau sells his birthright. And Jacob boiled pottage. And Esau came from the field. And he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same stew, that red stew, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, or red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Refined worship through perverted appetite. Somewhere else in Scripture it says that Esau could not find repentance, even though he sought it with tears. A little bowl of lentil soup. Sad. We turn now to 1 Kings. There are elements in these stories of presumption and power as well. But the main focus here today is the concept of appetite. 1 Kings chapter 12. We take up a little story here concerning Jeroboam. Now, just very quickly, and this can be very confusing, and if you haven't studied much of the history of Israel, this is all Greek to you, I'm sure. But basically, here it is. Solomon was king of Israel, and Jerusalem was the center of worship. There were 12 tribes, and of course, you know that Solomon got, he was very prosperous, but he made his prosperity through high taxes and oppression and treating the people wrongly. People really resented it and were tired of it. Well, Solomon dies, and then his son Rehoboam is coming to the throne. But there was a prophecy given by a prophet of Yah that Jeroboam, who had been a servant to Solomon, would be basically promoted, and that the kingdom would be divided. That 10 tribes of the 12 would be given to Jeroboam, and that would be the northern kingdom called the kingdom of Israel. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, would only have 2 tribes, and those tribes would be called the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem would be the center of worship there. And of course, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, on the feast days and special times of worship, they would still come down to Jerusalem to worship. So Jeroboam is basically the first king of the kingdom of Israel in the divided kingdom. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, king of the kingdom of Judah, which is the 2 tribes. Let's take it up in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now, shall the kingdom return to the house of David? In other words, he's worried that he might lose his 10 tribes back to Rehoboam. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of Yah at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, that is, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me. and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. What do we have here? We have a lust for power, don't we? Okay, verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one of the golden calves in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. He gave him two worship centers. And thus this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he said, And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. He broke the law. Levites were supposed to be the priests, and the Levites weren't going to go along with this nonsense, so he made priests of the lower class, or the other class. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month. He refined worship. He gave him a feast that Yah hadn't even given him. Likened to the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. Here we have refined worship. It's a better worship. It's better than they have down at Jerusalem. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. That's refined worship. When it's devised of your own heart. It's man-made. Remember Yahshua said, In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the traditions of men. Devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. A sweet savor. Nice smell. If it looks good and smells good, must be good. Tastes good too. But it wasn't Yah's doing. It wasn't Yah's instruction. It was devised by the heart of a wicked man. Chapter 13 starts out, the prophet of Judah warns Jeroboam, it says, And behold, there came a man of Yah out of Judah by the word of Yah unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of Yah and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yah, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah, by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which Yah hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent or broken, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of Yah, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. Warning. Warning. Be careful what you do to a prophet of Yah. The altar was rent or broken, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of Yah had given by the word of Yah. And the king answered and said unto the man of Yah, Entreat now the face of Yah thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of Yah besought Yah, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. Isn't Yah merciful? Yah is so merciful. He restores the hand of the guy that was going to lay hold of his prophet. And the prophet does it without any fear, because he's in true worship at this point. And the king said unto the man of Yah, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Oh, I'm going to pay you back for fixing my hand back. Let's have a party. Let's get our appetite going. Let's have a party. rejoice over my hand. Okay? And the man of Yah said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, in other words, if you give me half of your prosperity, all you own, it won't be enough, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. I'm not interested in refined worship, dear king. I've been told and instructed what to do, and I'm going to obey it. I wish the story ended right there. Oh, how I wish it ended right there. Let's read on. For so was it charged me by the word of Yah, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. He's doing fine. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of Yah had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to the father. In verse 12, and their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of Yah went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of Yah, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of Yah that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of Yah, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, this old man said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake to me by the word of Yah, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. He deceived him. So he went with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Terrible, terrible mistake. Refined worship. Perverted appetite. By this time he was hungry. Now Yahshua said, I will not make bread out of these stones. This man believed the deception and gave in to perverted appetite. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of Yah came unto the prophet that brought him back, and cried unto the man of Yah that came from Judah, saying, thus saith Yah, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of Yah, and hast not kept the commandment which Yah, thy Almighty, commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which Yah did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. It cost him his life. It cost him his soul. He was a true prophet, but he gave in to his appetite, and he lost his soul. Eve and Adam gave in to the appetite, lost their soul. Esau gave in to his appetite, lost his soul. The unnamed man of Yah gave in to his appetite and lost his soul. Refined worship. Turn to Philippians 3. We'll bring it down to our day. We'll bring it to us directly and apply it to us directly. Philippians 3, 17 through 20. Paul's talking to the Philippians. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us an example. Parentheses, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, the Master, Yahshua, the Messiah. Paul says there are many who have refined worship. They have belly gods. They just give in to their appetite. Whatever tastes good, eat it. Whatever looks good, it's food. It's pleasant to the sight. Whatever smells good, eat it. I have drawn a picture on the board of a grain of wheat. It has three parts, as it came from the hand of the Creator. There is the germ, which is like the nucleus or the very life-giving source of that grain. There is the endosperm that surrounds that wheat germ. And there is the outer protective covering, which is the wheat bran. There's the germ, the endosperm, and the bran. Now, I'm going to do something. I've erased the red portion of the wheat grain as it was created from Yah and commanded in Genesis as a part of the diet. Well, originally, wheat wasn't part of the diet, but it came in. It was a God-given part of the diet, at least after sin came in. Now, by definition, wheat has germ, endosperm, and bran. I have erased the germ. What is this? Is this wheat?
Refined wheat.
Refined wheat. And when we eat it consciously, willfully, and wantonly, we are guilty of refined worship. This is not what God designed for us to eat. Now, you say, Pastor Chick, you're being kind of tough. You can't even get anything in the store. You can't grow the stuff. What are you talking about here? Don't you eat it sometimes? In times of necessity, in times of great hunger, many times, I've eaten it. But it is not the food that God designed for my body. And the spirit of prophecy has told us time and time again that disease is caused by refined foods, bottled, boxed, and bagged. Foods that were never intended for the human body. The curse without a cause shall not come. If our health fails us, it has a cause. And perverted appetite will cause us to prefer this over the real thing. That's the big problem. Eating this once in a while will not kill us. And obviously, none of us in the room are dying. And we eat this quite often, if not every day. But let me say to you that if you continue, if I continue, if we continue doing those things that we know are not proper, and we make a habit of it to the detriment of what we ought to be doing, and that is true worship, eating those things that Yah designed to be eaten as they came from the hand of the Creator, and we get sick and we die, then we have no one to blame but ourselves. Yah cannot save us from ourselves if we will consciously and willfully violate the laws of our being. Let's look at it from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3:16-19. Know ye not that ye are the temple of Yah, and that the Spirit of Yah dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy. For the temple of Yah is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yah. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Do you know that all these refined foods are just man's craftiness? In fact, one of them's called Kraft. K-R-A-F-T, Kraft Company. And they're taken in their own craft. They have refined foods saying, we have given you better, a better, more pure version of this food. And then they make bread machines. And they say, oh, we'll take away the work of out of making bread. We'll make it easier for you. And we'll even design some flour for you. It's made for bread machines. And they engineer that flour so that it will make bread rise faster and better and make a pretty loaf, pleasant to the eyes. They take the work out of it, which is really gain if you have children, because children learn a lot from making bread the old-fashioned way. They put it in the store so you don't have to make it. And most of the stuff they put in the store is this stuff and worse. We won't even get into all the rest of the refined foods. But everything today that they're packaging in such a way to sell it, to make a dollar, to make fast food, get it to you quickly, make it better for you. Make life better for you. How many Americans have cancer? How many Americans have heart disease? How many Americans are dying today because of this refined worship? It's an abomination. And Yah's people are not to be sick. Yah's people are not to be refined. They are not to be adulterated. Yah's people are to be the cream of the crop. And to worship as Yah instructed them from the beginning. There's no addictions to Yah's people. We have no addictions. We can say no. If Yah says, don't drink water, don't eat there, go home and eat. We can do it. If Yah says, eat this, don't eat this, we can do it. It's a choice. But we must make that choice. We must choose true worship. That is, loving service of obedience. And you know, it's not just because Yah is some egotist. Yah is not sitting up there saying, I want this young man to do what I say because I'm the God of this universe. And I want this woman over here to do what's right because I have power. I am the king of the universe. No. That's not it. He says, child, I created you. I know what's best for you. I give you these things to eat for your health, for your long days upon the earth. I recommend this for your body because I know I designed it for you. And I designed this particular food just for your body. Please, worship. Please, go along with me. That's what he's trying to do. Yes, many have escaped. Many smoke cigars, many eat pork, many drink whiskey, and some of them live to be 100 years old. But just think how much longer and how much more quality of life they would have had they always obeyed and worshipped in the true worship. Let me tell you, when you have a quality of health, when you have abundant life, when you feel good, isn't it great? Don't you appreciate health? Would you want to go to a family reunion feeling rotten? Would you want to go to church feeling rotten? Would you want to go on a hike feeling rotten? Would you want to report to work feeling rotten? I just returned from the Veterans Hospital and I saw many people that feel rotten. I saw people without legs, without arms, without hands. I saw people in wheelchairs rolling up and down the aisles, unable to smile. Bitterness beyond bitterness. I cried. I cried for them. For they know not who they serve. Yes, some of them had their limbs blown off in combat. God bless their souls. But many of them, and most of them, are drug addicts today. On one drug after another, to try to heal the thing that put them where they are. And I tell you what it was. It was the refined worship of modern day that put many of them in those wheelchairs. And the drugs that they're now using are numbering their days. We are so blessed to have a guidebook of nutrition. We are so blessed to have the spirit of prophecy in our midst to warn us against refined worship and to lead us down the path of proper appetite. Let's read one more verse that I have written down. There may be another, but I have one more written down. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of Yah, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yah in your body and in your spirit, which are Yah's. By Yah's grace, I was able to glorify Him at the hospital. By His mercy and grace. But let me tell you, I'm not without fault. I have made some mistakes. And if I had not made those mistakes, I would even be a brighter light today. Yah, forgive me. For I should be walking up mountains. I should be flying in the midst of heaven at 55 years old. I should be rising every morning without pain. I should have no headaches. But the mistakes I've made throughout my life have put me where I am. Yet, Yah has been merciful to me, and I can still be a bright light to Babylon, even in spite of it all. And I'm thankful. And I appreciate His keeping me in spite of myself many times. And I offer to you who are listening the appeal and encouragement to give up false worship, to give up refined worship. And do those things that are pleasing in Yah's sight for your own good. For why would you die, Israel? Why would you give up the abundant life for a pot of soup? Think on these things. Yah wants us to live. Yahshua said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. None of us want to walk into a hospital room and see our beloved aunt, uncle, brother, sister, mother, dad, suffering with all of these tubes hooked up to them, blood coming in, the serum coming in one side, the oxygen coming through the nose and down the throat, life support systems, all of these things. None of us want those things. None of us want to go visit each other there. I plan to be translated when Yahshua comes. I'm seeking to be fitted for translation. But I would rather you see me in the sepulcher of my fathers than to see me in the precincts of the sick ward. Encourage me, church. Encourage me, church. Hold my hands up. Show me true worship. I want to worship with you in spirit and in truth. Shall we pray? Father, we are so thankful that you love us. This preacher has poured his heart out here today. My breath is short within me. For I have been given grace in many ways. You have borne long with this man, and I'm thankful that you've given me a chance to share my calling with Babylon. And I'm thankful that you've made this temple to be holy in their midst. And I must give you all the credit, Father. And I thank you for those in this small circle in St. Joseph, Tennessee, that are still walking on their two legs. I'm thankful, Father, that they still can put a smile on their face. For there are many in this circle that know that long-suffering and mercy that you have extended to them. Miraculous ones even in our midst. But Father, you are not to be trifled with. And you have taught us the right way to live, and the right way to eat, and the right way to talk, and the right way to dress. You have taught us how to be holy. And we thank you that through Yahshua we have the power to do that. Bless us now, Father, as we leave this sanctuary. May these thoughts be left in our minds, and may each one receive the blessing they need as you have spoken through me today. And those that hear this by way of internet, O Father, have mercy upon them. Forgive them, for they know not what they've been doing. Help them, Father, to learn the way of Yah and follow in it. Dismiss us with your love, we pray, in Yahshua's blessed and holy name. Amen.